This morning, I'm preaching from Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. But I'm preaching unconsciously, purposely praising God. And one way to do this is by recognizing the blessings that you have. This is what I was praying earlier with the Lord, is for that recognition. You appreciate what has been given to you from Him. And so in that, you praise Him. Then the appreciation and recognition just brings praise, right? But to do this, you're going to have to be sensitive. Recognize your life that it's a blessing. It's a blessing from God. Even when there's hardship. I mean, the privilege to exist. Just think about it. Philosophically, you know, don't possibly have to exist. But here we are. And we are experiencing it. And God gave us this. And so you recognize it as a blessing. You have things like food. You have friends. It's a blessing to live with certain freedoms. There are many things. But what we can do is we can take our blessings for granted. And what happens is that we get used to them. And we lose the sensitivity. Basic blessings become expected. So you're going along, and it's like all your blessings are the way things should be. It happens. You get spoiled. You know what I'm saying? The appreciative awareness of not having those things gets forgotten. Things change, though, when you go without something like food. And then the fortunate privilege of food becomes pronounced because you're hungry. And when you lack medical care, the privilege of a competent doctor or adequate medicine, quality care becomes more appreciated as a blessing that it is. When you experience oppressive government, the true blessing of rights and freedom and justice of good government gets magnified. So if you can't find other serious Christians to fellowship, things like that, what happens is you appreciate the blessing of a solid Christian community. Go without that for a while, you start to see the importance. When blessings are given, there must be appreciation of the blessings, and there must be appreciation of the blesser. So to stay in this reality, that's what I'm preaching on, to abide in the sensitivity, you got to look at your life from God's point of view, not yours. And when you look at your life from God's point of view, multitudes of blessings become obvious. And this is the sensitivity. God knows what He does, and He knows what He is, right? And when you look at your life from His view of what He has done for you, the blesser who got you there is very obvious. And what should the blesser get? The blesser should get honor from you. He should get thanks. He should get appreciation from you. Not complaining all the time. God should get praise for the blessings of His grace in your life. Everything that He's done is grace. That's what I'm teaching on, praising God for the blessings He's given you. I'm going to read through Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, and I'm going to go from there. So Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be set apart and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His determination, to the praise of the glory of His grace." Mark that verse 6. That's a reason that He did this. And it's got a lot to do with His own self. So it's to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the loved one, Jesus. And in Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His determination according to His kind intention, which He set forth in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. In Him, notice it's always in Him. Verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His determination, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, and again, to the praise of his glory. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Praise God for the blessings of his grace. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that I would preach and preach accurately from these scriptures, rightly handled, to build us up, and that we would get the depth of what Paul's getting at by your Spirit here in the Word, your Word. We would get it, and we would live it, and we would be it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul was overwhelmed by things that God was showing him. And you can sense the excitement that's pressed down into the ink of his words. So while laying out this teaching, laying out insights, the realization of our amazing and magnificent God has him bursting out in praise, essentially. And you're supposed to see it in the same way. In Paul's descriptions, he's showing that when you see the blessings, then you see God. And when you tune into the important facts about your relationship with God that God created, the blessings can only be appreciated. And so thanks and praise comes out to the one who gave it to you, gave all of it. Now, there's something deep here. Tuning into the blessings that you have, Paul makes it clear that God blessed himself in doing all of this with you. He blessed himself. So this is part of what's going on. God had blessing you in mind as part of his process of blessing himself. And so in his work with you, Paul starts out saying this: blessed be the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So you've been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And you might notice in the Bible version that you have that it says, like I just read it, blessed be God. Right? Blessed be God. But on the other hand, you might have a version which puts praise be to God. So it would be saying praise goes to God instead of saying God is blessed. Now, the Greek construction and context, it does have scholars seeing it both ways. And when they lay it out like in argument form, and it's just grammatical truth, it can be translated the same phrase either way. And so the translations that put blessed be the God are saying this, that God is blessed. That's what he is. God existing as blessed is a truth repeated through the whole Bible, by the way. 1 Timothy 1:11 says God is the blessed God. And it means God is happy, content, satisfied. He's blessed. He's perfect. And when translators put the difficult Greek construction like the NIV does, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, what it's having is Paul giving praise to God while urging others to praise God. See? And by the way, this is also a truth that's repeated in other scriptures. Hebrews 13:5 says, through Christ, continually praise God and give thanks to his name. So both interpretations reflect truth, or I should say translations, but they are interpretive. They're called dynamic equivalents, and a lot of times you have to have that. You have to make a judgment call. But both interpretations reflect truth. God is blessed. He just exists that way. And God is to be praised. That's what we're supposed to do. But notice Hebrews 13:15 that I quoted again. It says, praise God through Christ. Through Christ. Praising God through Christ is one of the things that you're blessed with. And the blessing is that your praise is from him, through you, to him. All right? It almost sounds odd to say that God is praising himself by his own Holy Spirit, but that's what he's doing. All right? This is all about how it gets back to God. And so your enablement to praise him is through Christ Jesus. So knowing that God wants to be praised, he makes sure that he gets it from you and me through Christ Jesus, which is him manifested in the flesh, the third person of the Trinity, the eternal God, also the Son, the eternal Son and the only begotten Son. And so he gets this, as Paul says, by blessing you. Paul says this in our passage, with being adopted. You have been blessed with salvation so that you will be a blessing. And Paul understood that you must praise God through Christ Jesus. And he also understood that it's not something that you come up with. Now, it seems like you came up with it, right? When I praise God, I'm the one praising God. I thought about doing it, and when I decided I didn't want to, I didn't do it. Okay, it seems like you came up with it, but God came up with it. He created it to be this way by the Holy Spirit, where you willingly do praise him, so you really do praise him, and you are really doing it by his own Spirit. And he is urging you to do it because it is your responsibility to do it, and it's also a responsibility to praise him according to his word. So you're understanding all of this, right? Right? We understand this. We see these things. They're laid out to us, and we understand them. We understand them how? To the point that we do. Well, listen to me. When I ask you if you understand this, acknowledging this truth right now, that by his own self, he uses you to get the praise he deserves, is acknowledgement from you, listen, as praise. As praise. Anytime we acknowledge these things with our God, we're praising him. So it's praise to acknowledge these things. The natural mind, by the way, does not do it. The natural mind rejects this stuff everywhere. Can't handle it. You do not naturally recognize that God is blessing himself, and in it all, it's also blessing you. And another praise recognition of this is to understand that one of the reasons that God gave you the gift of salvation was for this. I mean, you got to be careful. Salvation, we can get it all relegated to us. He rescued me. Salvation is me. It's my salvation. I am saved. Me, me, my, I. When in actuality, there's way much more to it. It's all part of a huge grand plan. So one of the reasons God gave you the gift of salvation was for this. So recognize your design, function, and purpose as a vessel that God is using to bring praise back to himself through himself as Holy Spirit. The only people that he ever got this from are the people that he saved for it. You have been called to it. So once you were sin-bound, hell-bound, unsaved, unrescued, now you are blessed with everlasting beautiful life, which gets better in the resurrection. And you like that, right? Everyone likes salvation. Well, people who are saved love it, right? I love salvation. But God is the focus. He's the focus. So when you consider that God is blessed as Father of your Lord, it says, notice that it also says that, he's blessed, that God is blessed as the Father of the Lord. Jesus being your Lord means that he is also the focus. He's the one seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly. So think about this. What does the lordship of Christ mean for you? It means that you are his servant. The new you created in Christ Jesus is meant to serve and obey the Lord. Again, the natural mind does not serve and obey the Lord. It serves something else. And as a bondservant of the Lord, you have a humble position. Yes. But because it's a blessing, it's an exalted position. See, being his servant is richer. It's more important than the wealthiest unsaved person on earth. This is the way things are. So looking at what Paul's saying in his praise flow, let's call it a praise flow here, exalting God for blessing you is the point. And Paul said, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. All these blessing things already apply to you. You know that, right? You have them already by grace. Praise him because he did not scrutinize you and is not scrutinizing right now to base his blessing you on your works. He's not trying to decide whether he's going to give you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God already blessed you, Paul says, with every spiritual blessing in Christ based solely on Christ. It's all about him. And get this right. You have the full amount. Every blessing means every. I mean, are you weak? Are you mistake prone? I am. Well, it doesn't change the fact that you've received every blessing. You have it all. But it's also everlasting. And in your messed up self, are you in my club? I'm messed up. In your messed up self, God blessed you with the everlasting righteousness of himself in Christ Jesus. Repeated so many times in Romans and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, so many places. It happened when you were regenerated, which is his work. And his imputed righteousness, fancy word, but that's what it is. It applies to you now and forever. It can be hard to believe that it applies to you like when you sin, right? But here's the thing. That's when it needs to apply to you, or else there's no such thing as imputed righteousness. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward you in that while a repulsive sinner, in all your disgusting imperfections and rebellion against him, Christ died for you. Now, if God examined every thought and every action and every mistake that you make, and then based on all of that, decides whether to bless you with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places, you would remain cursed forever. Because you know how much you sin, don't you? You know how undeserving you are. You know. But knowing everything about you and your sin, God blessed you with complete salvation with every spiritual blessing because he loves you according to real grace, and it has to do with the person, the anchor. The anchor has to do with Jesus. And so look at where it comes from then. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ who is seated there right now. So your blessing is in Christ who's in heaven. And you're down here in this mess of a world. You're down here where the curse exists. And pain is here. And worry is here. And gossip is here. And, you know, this is where jobs drive us crazy. School racks the brains of a lot of the young people. We get sick. We sin. We get depressed. We doubt. We sin again. We grieve. We complain. And we sin again. And while you're down here, you have the salvation of heaven in everything that I'm talking about. You have the salvation of heaven each moment. And what's going on is that you are joined with him in a co-identification. And someday you will join him to experience the ultimate blessings that he has waiting for you. That's just, it's waiting for you. So now understand your co-identity by understanding his identity. He is your sacrifice, yours. He is your resurrection life. He is your resurrected Lord. He is the Son of God in the Godhead. He's the firstborn inheritor. You are in him in that, but that's him. And right now he is, as it says in verse 20, risen from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. And so with spiritual eyes, this is what part of what Paul's getting across here, coming through chapter 1 in through chapter 2, is see yourself there. It gets deep, right? But see yourself there. Your life may be horrible drudgery, but your body will be like his in your resurrection. And a lot of Christians are slaving away. They're wearing out, burning out. Have you ever labored for someone who's not honoring God with their lives and their money? I have. I remember working for a man. He did not honor God with his life. He was wealthy, but all he wanted was more money. That's all he cared about. He didn't care about people. That was one of the biggest things, the way he treated people, like they were things. And I recall being oppressed in my Christianity in that job. And going through the oppression, I'd often forget my blessings. I knew I was saved. But in the daily grind things, I would forget the sense of the riches that I inherited in my co-identity in Christ. What happened to joy? It would start going away. But I noticed something. It would come back when I would consciously acknowledge that I have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. I remember consciously thanking God for the blessings that I have now. And I would think, it's only going to get better in the future. And this thinking always brings me back into the bigger picture. Even today, I go through stuff all the time. The blessing perspective of God. And when I'm going through the hard hits of life, and you go through them as well, okay? When I go through them, the reality of God's perspective embraces me as I consciously acknowledge that I exist being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ right now. It's not just a coming thing. It's now. And what is going on is praise is in that. Okay? Now, you might be going through a kind of amnesia concerning your blessings. And you know exactly what I mean. Maybe you're physically limited. Maybe you have a sense of inferiority. And you might think that everything is against you. Your health, your finances, even your mistakes that you've made in life. They're just overwhelming you. They face you every day. They won't let you go. A voice yells at you. You're a failure. And you believe it. Your own thoughts, they haunt you. I'm a loser. I'm worthless. And you might be nothing in the world's eyes. Your whole life may be one hard hit after another. And you hardly recuperate. And you just get hit harder again. And you're worn out. You are worn out. You need to see with the same eyes that Paul the Apostle was looking through. And it's the eyes of God. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Bathe yourself in the biblical truth of how God sees you. Not because of you, but because of who's seated at his right hand in the heavenlies. God knows you as your co-identification in Christ with Christ in you as the only hope of glory. I love that verse, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the only hope of glory. And listen to me, please. He does not know you as a loser you. God treats you in your co-identification you as the winner you that you are because you are in Christ who is seated in the heavenly places. He's the one that came up with it. He knew he had to come up with it or else he's going to see an orphan. He didn't adopt you and you would be actually a loser. All who are unsaved are losers. So let's look at how Paul explains it in 2:4-6. It just goes on with this beautiful stuff over into the next chapter. But think of yourself, okay? Listen to me. Think of yourself. It says this. God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead in your transgressions, made you alive together with Christ. Think about that. By grace you have been saved. There's a parenthetical. There's a parenthesis there. Made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Paul wants to get that out. And listen to this. And raised you up with Christ and seated you with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places in him. So we are, you, I, us, we're seated there in Christ Jesus. That's co-identification. And so God is saying that God loved the loser you when you were dead in your sins. But he loved you to change you in mercy because he can only love the changed you forever. Got to be changed. So making you alive together with Christ by grace and seating you spiritually with Christ in heaven in him, he blessed himself with the new winner you to love and to praise him for what he's done. Yeah, it's grace. We don't deserve it. And when we say that, what are we saying? I praise you. The glories of your grace. This is your co-identification. It's got to be all about Jesus. When God sees me, he can't see the old Carrie anymore. He's got to see Christ in me. He's got to see the new man. And here's what it is. You are always this. So the win is that the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And once you understand this, like Paul the Apostle, you should have joy at the revelation of just how special, loved, and blessed you always are at every moment. He is seated there, but you must recognize, as it says, you are seated there too in him. So that's God's way of looking at things. So from God's view, the blessings are always set. At verse 4, it says this, God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world so that you would be set apart and blameless, faultless before him. Well, what does it say that you were chosen in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. God has never been surprised by you. So it says God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world so that you would be, meaning the purpose is that you would be set apart and blameless before him. And he's the one that makes you blameless. How does he do it? In the blameless one. And so I'm preaching, I'm praising God for the blessings of his grace, and this is it. Now over in 5:25, Paul speaks of the church like a bride. It's about Christians, which means it's about you. I'm assuming you're a Christian, right? Saved by grace through faith. And so it says, Christ loved you, chapter 5, meaning he already loved you in the past. And it says, and gave himself up for you. And why is that? Verse 26, so that he would set you apart, meaning the purpose is so that you would be set apart as one of the spiritual blessings. And Paul said, having cleansed you already by the washing of water with the word. Always put with the word with that. He cleansed you with the gospel. How? Through giving himself up for you. Now, why is that? Verse 27. So that he will present you to himself in all your glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that you will necessarily be set apart and blameless. This is about you. You are part of the church. You are part of the bride of Christ. And Christ did all that so that you will be set apart and spotless. Now remember 1:4 here in our passage. It says the same thing. Remember the blessing is that you will be set apart and blameless and faultless before him. You have this blessing right now. And verse 5 says, in love he predestined you to adoption. You used to be an orphan roaming the streets of the unsaved world. There was a time that you were not a child of God. Don't think of yourself as that anymore. Paul says, in love, he predestined you to adoption as a son through Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you're a female, rejoice in this male child reference. Why should you? Because it's co-identification. Remember, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. Yes, there's males and females. But in Christ Jesus, Paul, the scripture says, there's neither male nor female because it's the one new man. Again, be happy about the male reference because all Christians are called sons because and only because we've all been adopted in the co-identification with the Son of God. Seated with him in the heavenlies, in him. It's a him. And so, yeah, you're a female. You say, I'm a son of God because I'm in him, right? That's what we're talking about over and over. Paul the Apostle, you were predestined to this blessing, as it says, in love. And what this means is that God loves you like he loves Jesus the Son. That's it. God loves you like he loves his son, Jesus. So we go, oh, well, he's the inheritor. Yeah, and you are a co-inheritor. So God gives you the inheritance just like he gives it to his son Jesus. Over and over. It's a dozen times in the New Testament we are called co-inheritors with Jesus. It's amazing. Co-heirs. Now get this at the end of verse 5. That all of it is according to the kind intention. That's the good pleasure of God's determination to do it. His own will. And this is why God gets praised for it. He gets praised for it. But don't overlook that you get all this blessing because God did it to bless himself. See? It's verse 6. It says, God did this with you to praise of the glory of his grace. Why did God do this for me? To the praise of the glory of his grace. And so I'm preaching on praising God for the blessings of his grace. Do it because you're getting the overflow of God planning to bless himself since before the foundation of the world, And then blessing himself after the world was made, blessing himself with you and all the glory for what it took to get you. And make no mistake about it, he really did it all to get praise for it. And the blessing that you get from it, it's a piece of icing on his own cake. It's his. We're getting some of the crumbs. You get blessing because he makes sure that he gets the appreciative recognition of the glory, the excellent value, and the splendor of his kind grace. We are like trophies. So in heaven, every time we look at each other, forever and ever, we're going to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, all the time, as praise objects of his grace forever. We're going to exist as an object of his grace that brings praise to him. Just our existence. God's love and kind intention on you to bring all praise back to him concerning the wonderful value and the splendor of his grace is beautiful because God gets what he deserves, while you get blessing benefits by partaking in his grace. And it says, Paul says in verse 6, which he freely bestowed on you in Jesus, the beloved, the loved one. Now it's free because it really is his gift to you. It really is. There's nothing that you can do to earn this. This grace is unmerited favor and it is free. But here's the thing. Adoption is not free. The huge price that the loved one paid to adopt you was the life for life price that gives you the holiness and the blamelessness. See, it always gets back to God. This is praise that we're doing, recognizing this. So next in verse 7, it says, in him. Well, it's your co-identification again. In him you have the redemption through his blood, which means you are paid for in full with the costly price of the Son's own blood. Now, what does it do? Forgives your trespasses. And the forgiveness of your trespasses was costly, but trespass is costly. You see? And this is where the praise gets deeper. The cost was for the perfect, sinless being to become flesh, to endure grueling, humbling, horrifying works for your salvation, his work. And the high value price that he paid is the redemption in his precious blood, not his sinless blood, his innocent blood, not redemption in anything that you do. This is why God does not like self-righteousness or works for salvation. He hates it. It's taken the glory away from him completely, putting it in the flesh. So, but here, again, it's the glory of his grace. And he determined before the foundation of the world that he would be the martyr for your life. He knew the price that needed to be paid for sinful humanity could only be fulfilled in his sinless self. Praise the glory of his grace in determining that he would be the price. And it's all, as Paul said, according to the riches, there's value, the riches of his grace which he lavished on you. You see it? The riches of God's grace are riches reflected in the high expense of the debt of sin. 1 John 2, 1 through 2 says this, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the wrath-absorbing payment. That's propitiation. Let's make it easier. The wrath-absorbing payment for your sins. So do this. Praise God for the blessing of Jesus as the wrath-absorbing payment for your sins. He is the infinite value. He settles the price. But be overwhelmed by it, like Paul the Apostle. Let this huge realization of the riches of God's grace that he's lavished upon you just sink in. Let it sink in. You really do have a great relationship with God. You do. Continually praise him for it. You are saved to be who he has designed you to be, that vessel that gives him praise. So fulfill your great and wonderful blessing privilege to be a living blessing to the one who has ordained all of it to bless himself. Do it with your life, do it with your words, with your thoughts, with everything. Amen.